Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah and the 26th chapter. If you would stand for the reading of the word, we're going to just read and just look at two verses here. We're going to hit upon a familiar theme in Scripture and the familiar theme from this pulpit, but it really needs to be visited time and again, and this is an angle we haven't hit before, this passage. And we'll call today's message, Peace in the Storms of Life. Everyone is on the storms. Which of us will have peace? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Father, it's your word and we believe it. Holy Spirit, you wrote this through the prophet. Lord Jesus, you're living in us, and we want this to be so real to us that you would give us a sound mind and a sense of personal hope and a peace in our soul that is not just for those crisis moments, but through all of life, that when those fearsome waves come, we have something that we can put our whole weight on and be secure. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I have a question. When you think of peace, what do you think of? What do you imagine? Perhaps you think of some serene scene, right? Just a boat out on the water. Maybe you're on the beach or just listening to music. Or maybe you think of just having some quiet and relaxation. Those are nice things, and sometimes we find little bits of it. Yeah. But those dreams always give way to reality, don't they? They don't last. Whether it's school or work or family or friends or other relationships or responsibilities, situations, accidents, whatever. Even on vacation. Even in retirement. There are always things that disturb the peace. We know it's true. But let me tell you, real peace is not simply tranquility or a lack of trouble. Peace is not the lack of conflict. Peace is in the face of conflict. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is being able to rest in the midst of a storm. That's how the Bible pictures peace. It's okay to have moments of tranquility and silence and all that. That's good. Yes, amen. But to be able to have peace in your soul and a peaceful mind and a calm and even keel spirit in the midst of all the other tempest, now that is real peace that only God can give. Now in this life, you can't possibly avoid all the things that are going to come and attack your peace. But the Bible talks about a peace that's greater than your ability to fully understand. You know, Philippians 4:7 says, a peace that passes all understanding. You can have it. It can be there. It's supernatural. But it's beyond what you can even imagine. Now, often when I pray for people, I pray that God would give them a sound mind, a sense of personal hope and peace in their soul. And you know what? In this text, I find all three of those things. And when you read the preceding two verses, it really seems to set the context as keeping a nation secure. But verses 3 and 4 certainly apply to personal composure. It's like a city whose guards and walls keep it secure. You know, Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it, and he is safe. So in this text, God is offering you peace for your whole life. And I'm going to look at this. We're going to look at this together under three main headings. And the first one is the nature. Oh, this is so rich. Please stay with us. The nature of this peace. Look what it says here. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And we think, okay, that means perfect. It means from God. It means, you know, mature or whatever else you think it means. But let me say something. It's the same Hebrew word used twice in a row for emphasis. You've probably heard this word before, shalom. This is perfect peace. It means it's peace, peace. It's shalom, shalom. And God says that he will keep this person in perpetual peace. He will keep them in this peace. It's talking about your whole life and into forever. You see, forever, right there in the text. He's everlasting. Trust him forever. He's talking about a forever peace, a for right now and a forever peace that can come upon you and in you and invade and just pervade your entire life, and that is just bigger than any storm that you have. Wow. We think, oh, come on. That's why we need to dig a little further. Now, again, the Hebrew word for this peace is used here is shalom. You've heard that word, I'm sure. It's not just a peace like you might understand it. It's much more full of meaning. Shalom is a picture of wholeness, right? It refers to spiritual well-being, a sense of safety, and having a healthy, prosperous, contented soul. If you had lots of cash and someone took a dollar, you'd still be at peace. Why? Because you had plenty of cash, right? Man, it's a poor example, but you could come up with many examples. People try to steal a piece of your peace pie. You know, they try to take a slice off, but you have an unending peace pie. It always keeps refilling itself. Maybe that's a little better for you. Someone eats your pudding, but there's more pudding there. That's what he's talking about. A whole wholeness. The person who has shalom, you know, you hear that Greek, shalom, shalom. It means they found favor with God. And so they don't have a fear of condemnation. It's like when you first get saved and you really begin to understand it. You read verses like Romans 5:1, and you know, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been justified. You have peace with God. And so you don't have a dread of God. There's a peace, and now a delight begins for God. It affects your whole life. When you know that with Jesus you have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, it really does give you a sense of peace. So now we need to think about what's really being offered here. It isn't just shalom. As great as that is, it's shalom, shalom. It's a whole wholeness, an overflowing abundance of secure contentment. And so many people don't know this, or they let it waver. They don't keep their mind on God, and they think, this was really not going to be real for me. But he says it can. He says he will. This is God promising this. He's offering you a shalom, shalom, a peace, something beyond what you can muster up or invent or create for yourself. And you can definitely see, you can just look at this verse and realize that this peace has an element of mental well-being. It is mental and emotional peace. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. This peace has to do with your mind. You see it right there in the text. It's a state of trusting God, feeling secure, and being content despite the battles that may be raging around you or raging within you. It's the mental ability to keep your cool when the heat is on. This is peace of mind, right? You've heard that phrase, peace of mind. When you're not getting weighed down with worry, it's when you can stop being so easily offended. You can stop focusing on the bad stuff. You know how we've been saying it? You don't get stuck there. You don't focus on that. You move forward. You can focus on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Heard those before? That's Philippians 4:8. And that verse, and other verses like Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together for good. Or Psalm 56:9. This I know, that God is for me. Those verses begin to become alive in you. I want this. I need this. And I can have this, and so can you. You know, everybody knows their mind and your emotions are linked. Everybody knows that. You don't have to prove that to anybody. Everybody knows that. And the peace with God is the way to start being able to deal with your out-of-control emotions and eruptions. When you have this perfect peace, this shalom, shalom, the things that pick at your weakness, at your wholeness, only prove your wholeness. You see, again, if you had this cup and it runneth over no matter what. Someone could grab that cup and start spilling and say, what are you going to do now? And all of a sudden the cup's full again. And so their attacking your cup only proves how incredible the cup is. Your source is greater than yourself. And so when something attacks and your source is there, it refills you. Hello? Be being filled with the Spirit. All these things are linked together. The Bible's saying the same thing over and over and over and over again in different ways, in different contexts, and in different times for you so that you will get the message. And the message is he wants a shalom, shalom for you. Doesn't matter what comes. Your peace source is unlimited. Amen. So you don't immediately assume the worst. Somebody needs to hear this. You don't immediately assume the worst. You aren't so easily agitated or irritated by unexpected things. Hello! You don't fly off the handle when people fail to do things that you don't like the way you don't want. Yeah. It's okay. The first step in getting clean is coming clean. Maybe we should hear some, oh me's, oh my's, praise the Lord. That's me. Come on, Lord, help me. So let me say that again. You're not so easily agitated or irritated by unexpected things. You don't fly off the handle when people fail to do things like you want. No longer does every little thing turn into an emergency. And the pastor is happy then. Okay. You stop feeling like everything is some sort of a sign, like everyone is out to get you. People can put you down and life can pile up on you, but you're not easily rattled. You have perfect peace. You know God is using those trials to make you more like Jesus. You know he will be right there with you in the midst of this suffering. This wholeness is an experiential knowledge that your significance, your sufficiency, and your security are found in God. You actively identify with Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. No matter what my situation is, no matter what it may look like, no matter what anybody else says. He's my potter and I'm his clay. My life matters to God. Your life matters to God. Your body may be wasting away, but your spirit is being renewed day by day. You aren't wilting and you aren't whining. You are wanted and you are winning. That's the mind that's at perfect peace. And if you're a Christian, that sort of renewed mindset is what God offers you in this passage. Make no mistake about it. Just because you haven't had it doesn't mean you can't have it. So that's the essence, the nature of this peace, right? Amen. Well, where does it come from? That's what we look at next. The source of this peace. Again, you keep him in perfect peace because his mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Well, it's pretty easy where the source is, right? The source is God. He's the one that gives this peace. But I want to tell you something. He is the only one that can give this peace. Any other source of peace will eventually fail. It can fail. It can end. It can be stolen. It can be taken away. If you're trusting in some other thing to satisfy you with a sense of true, lasting peace, you'll find out that it won't always deliver. Now, you can find momentary respite from the troubles of life. Yes. You can smoke your peace pipe. Yeah, man. Yeah. Everyone who isn't a Christian is doing it for sure, not smoking the peace pipe, but finding ways. Sometimes it seems like it is, because I used to be that guy. Seems like the whole world is high on itself. Everyone who's not a Christian is doing this for sure. They're looking everywhere for peace. And many Christians are doing it too. These things aren't God's peace, but lesser senses of peace, or even false senses of peace. What do? Some people turn to fame and fortune and popularity, financial success, their looks, power, influence, family and friends. Some identify with others who have their same sort of brokenness. Some try and find peace by having fun, vacations, parties, hobbies, sex. Some use addiction or medicating behaviors. Some pursue achievement in academics or business or professions or society or church even. Some people just never slow down. They don't let that sense that I don't have peace in me catch up to me. It's all just busy, busy, busy in religion, social causes, church, volunteering, whatever. Everyone's looking to fill up their peace pie, as it were. And some of those pursuits can be good and right and enriching and helpful things, yes. But in the end, those things can never deliver the kind of peace that God can. That's not the kind of peace he's talking about here. Ask Solomon. He had all the wealth, all the money, all the power, all the influence, all the sex you can ever have. Yet, what did he say? He left him with a feeling like he was grasping at the wind. You can be happy for a while. And maybe you have enough money or success or fame or whatever to go from one thing to another in search of your next thrill, in search of your next, woo, woo. I come home and it's Miller time or Bush or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I head for the mountains or I head for the beach or whatever I do. Or, you know, now I'm taking this much vacation. I'm doing this or that or the other thing. Or now I've made it. Right? I've got all the dollars, all the sex. I get all whatever I need. I've conquered the world now in the present of the United States. That does not mean you have peace in your soul. Again, you can have enough money like Solomon in Ecclesiastes. He went from thing to thing to thing. Not all the things were bad, but the fact is he kept chasing peace and he never found it. You think you're going to find it, you'll have to keep chasing it. Because like Solomon, you'll never find true peace if you don't find it in God. The only source of lasting peace, you getting your business right will not give you peace for very long. You getting your children right will not give you peace for very long. You getting your job right, you getting your spouse right, you getting your life right doesn't do it. Yeah. It's not wrong to find legitimate happiness. I'm going to go outside today and get a steak or something, man. If someone buys me one, but anyway. It's not wrong to find legitimate happiness. Yeah, it's fine. But you can, listen to me now, listen to me, kids. With these goals, adults, you could achieve everything you ever dreamed of, everything you always dreamed of, right down to the T, every little bit, and it will not be enough. You know why? Because satisfaction is not the same thing as peace in your soul. Satisfaction is just satisfaction. It doesn't give lasting peace, period. Now look at verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Verse 4 is pointing out the sufficiency, the sufficient nature of God. He is the author of this peace. Why can we trust it? We see he's the source, but why can we trust this source? Now, the first mention is Lord here. The Hebrew word there, you've heard of it, is Yahweh. Some people say Jehovah. What does that speak of? It speaks of his self-existence. Everything is dependent on him. He's depending on nothing. He's the eternal, all-sufficient, unchanging one. He said this to Moses, I am who I am. He is peace. Why does he have the peace? Why is he the source of peace? Because that's what he is, the God of peace. Right? Now look at verse 4, the second mention. It says, Lord God. You know what this is like? This is like peace, peace. It's compound. Yahweh there. It's put together for emphasis, like, again, peace, peace in verse 3. This is talking about his power. God, God! Woo! Yeah, that's the one. God the Lord. He has the power to deliver the peace you need. He is the peace in himself. He has peace, has no limits. And nothing can stop him from keeping you in perfect peace. He has the power to do it. You just don't believe it. Or you believe that he does, you just don't believe you can have it. You think you're going to fail somehow, or this, or that. You don't have peace enough to get the peace, as it were. Now look finally here. This is going to wind up being big when we close, but you see that God is called an everlasting rock. I believe Augustus Toplady wrote Rock of Ages cleft for me based on these verses. We think it's, you know, when he hid in the rock and all that. I think it's these verses. There's lots of hymns based on these. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Everlasting rock. Think about that. It's eternal, immovable, unyielding. He's the firm foundation. He's the solid rock. He's not going away, and he's not going to be any less than he is or that he ever was. Nothing can even begin to threaten his peace. You see, we need that to be able to get into that, and I'm going to show you that. We need him to be that, because otherwise we think, okay, now that I'm with him, well, now his peace is going to be a little less, or I'll erode some of his peace here. No, he's everlasting rock. It cannot go away, no matter how many splashes happen, no matter how many crashes of waves, it can't even threaten his peace. Wouldn't you like to be like that? You can't even threaten my peace. You put a gun to my face and say, Allah, or die, my peace is not threatened. Oh, that's impossible. Really? Have you read some of the stories? Fox's Book of Martyrs? I'm sure that Rachel and Moll, some of our other people all over the world, and could tell you. People are dying every day for Jesus. How do they do it? How do they have peace when they're being burned at the stake? Oh, that's just old-time people. Really? Give me that old-time religion, baby. Nothing can even begin to threaten his peace. In him is ultimate, unwavering, unstoppable security. You see this type of imagery all throughout the Bible. Again, on Christ, a solid rock I stand. He's my shelter in the storm. You can trust God forever because he is who he is forever. So we've seen the nature of this peace, this wholeness, this incredible supernatural peace. We've seen the source of this peace. It's this everlasting rock that does not change, our God. But now the question comes is, how do you get this? That's what we're going to look at last here, the reception of this peace. How do you receive it? How do you get this supernatural, God-given, perfect peace? Oh, you may feel down right now and say, this is not doing anything for me. Are you looking to find this? Are you looking to find supernatural peace to help you deal with the unavoidable stresses in your life? Because they are there. Some things are unavoidable. You got to go to work. Well, I don't got to go to work. Or I'm retired. You got to go to the hospital. Or someone you know has got to go. You're going to have to watch somebody that's going to go. Right? There's things going on all the time. They're unavoidable stresses in life. Just when you think you've got everything, there's other people. I got it all figured out. Oh, no, I can't stay by myself. You know, staying by myself and no one around me, everything, that's called hell. In case you didn't know. Most people don't have peace, so they're afraid to be alone with their thoughts. And they never find it, so when they get down there, there doesn't have to be all this fire and everything like that. You just be in a room by yourself, and that would be hell. Some people are living in it now. Maybe you're thinking right now about those things that drain your energy, make you worried, keep you miserable, keep your mind occupied, keep you up all night every night. Maybe you're successful, but you have no peace. Or maybe you wonder how you can get back your sense of peace, your sense of purpose, and instead of letting all of life drain all of your zeal. How can you receive this wholeness? There's two things he mentions in this text. Two things you need. Two responsibilities you have. The first is found in verse 3. It's a steady mind. Now, this is going to show you where people miss it. Because you think you have it, and you do not because you're trying to use it instead of letting it use you. All right, I'm going to get to that. But the first thing is a steady mind. It says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. This is talking about an established, steadfast mind. It is firm, it is rooted, it is anchored. This is not just a moment of time where you fix your mind. This is not just some moment of time where you fix your mind. This is about a mindset that is saturated and focused. It's not shifting, it's not swaying, it's not wavering in the waves and the breeze. It has been built up, and it is always in the process of being built up. The Hebrew word used for mind here is speaking about your conception, your frame of mind. If you want to have peace of mind, you need the right frame of mind. Can you hear me? Yes. The steady mind is one that's always fixed on God. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to just sit and go, Jesus, 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 I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing this, I can't ever watch TV, I can never go to the movies, I can't do anything with my children. No, 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 I just got to do nothing but think about God all day, every day. No, that's not what it means. But what it does mean is that you don't let your mind wander outside the framework of God. You take every stray thought and make it captive to Christ. You know what this means. Come on. People let their mind wander all over the place all through the week. They fill their minds with all sorts of garbage. Day in and day out, their thoughts are concerned and consumed with worldly things. Or even if they're thinking about good things, they don't think much about God things. Then they wonder why a few minutes or hours a month at church or reading their Bible or praying doesn't seem to be working when it comes to losing your peace. What about my children aren't interested in God? You don't come to church enough. You don't act like it's important. You don't read the Bible with them. You don't pray with them. What do you think when they're getting 5 hours of TV, 7 hours of school, 3 hours of friends, and 2 hours of social media, and 2 or 3 hours of sleep? Not much room for Jesus there. Doesn't mean you have to crowd everything. Everything's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It means you've got to get your framework right so that everything revolves around that. What is the center of your life? That is the issue. That's what a steady mind is. You drop a weight on my foot, I might say a word I shouldn't say. Maybe, maybe not. I'm getting better at that, I guess. Please don't test me. God will take care of that. Someone pulls out in front of you, this, that, and the other thing. But if your framework is right, you've got that music playing, you're thinking about God, things like that, it's a lot less likely, right? But if you're already mad about that guy that cut you off and it's 6 miles down the road and someone else cuts you off, that guy's now the recipient of two. Unless you get your framework right. Again, people wonder why they just do a few hours a week, you know? Well, they miss a week here, miss a week there and all that, and they really just that one week and their Bible stays unopened and all that. I'm not mad at you. I'm saying there's a reason why your mind is not stayed on him. Yes, it's a lot more than reading your Bible, praying, and going to church. Yes, but it's not less than that. I mean, it's not. Again, it's no wonder people don't have the peace of Jesus. If your frame of mind is not set on God as the center of your life, if your mind doesn't revolve around God and godliness, then you don't have a renewed mindset, and so it's no wonder you're not going to have this type of peace. I'm going to keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, on me. So here's where people miss out. Listen to me. This is why they never seem to have this sort of peace. They see the word stayed on you, and they think it means just in the moments of crisis. They seem to think that when the stress or trouble or whatever comes, they just start thinking about God right then, and then he gives them peace. That's not what this verse is teaching you. It is teaching that for certain people. Now, sometimes it might help. Sometimes, yes, I want you to think about God. If something happens, cry out to God. Yes, amen, of course. It'd be wrong to teach otherwise. The Bible does tell you to do that. But for the one who has a steady mind, who isn't double-minded, who isn't distracted from God most of the time, this will work. The steady-minded person will concentrate on God and will find relief. But God was the biggest concern of their life already. This mind stayed on God isn't a fix-it formula that makes God work for you. You can't just put Jesus in your pocket like a magic amulet. I'm not talking about you can't enjoy life. You can enjoy life and have peace, but you can't expect to spend all your time on entertainment, leisure, and pleasure and think you're building up a steady mind. So what do you need to do? You need to change your frame of mind. You need to reorient your thought life around God and the things of God. Not just putting him on the list, and now I'm going to put him more on the list. No, no, no. What's the center of your life? The center, the most important thing, the thing everything else revolves around. I don't even know what that looks like. Well, then you got some progress to make. You got some peace to find. You need to adjust your attention span to be able to hear more than just sound bites of sound theology. You need to train your mind by spending some serious time in God's Word. I don't know, like maybe a whole Sunday. We're doing Wednesday prayer meetings now, in case you've never actually been to one. There's a little bit of teaching, and we're praying. And it's not just a hospital list. We're praying some specific things, and it's working on us. God's going to honor that effort. And the peace that will come from a renewed mind will be worth it. Now, I realize there are some people who really can't have a hard time focusing and all that. I understand that. For some people, a stayed mind on God is going to look different than it does for most others. I get that, and I know who you are, because you tell me. I understand that. God understands that. If you have a hard time focusing, just ask God to help you. Doesn't mean you're going to do as good as this person or that person, but you're going to do it more, and you're showing that you want to do it, and he helps the people that want to do it. But for many people, they just need to be honest. I'm in the kitchen. Do you find it easy to listen to an hour of radio, watch an hour of TV, read an hour of a new book? But you don't have time to listen to an hour of preaching or read an hour in your Bible or spend an hour in prayer? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm saying be honest. If so, that can change, that you can change that. Confess your complacency in God, to God. Ask him to give you a delight in him. It takes time and patience. Then you start acting like he's going to answer that prayer. God, I want you to find a delight in you. Then open up your Bible and start reading. God, help me. And then you find one verse and it blows up and you got a delight in him. Stay with it. That's fine. You don't have to keep reading. That's okay. And then you're going to find whole passages. And then you're going to be like, man, I got to get this out. What did he tell Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, his words like a fire in my bones, man. You ever had that? Woo! That's where I find peace. I got to tell you, God gives me peace. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, the text is boom. There it is. And it's like, okay, I'll stay up till 5 o'clock. I'll do whatever. I'll get halfway done. I don't know. I'll go impromptu, whatever. Woo, because it's God's word. I'm not saying be like me. I'm saying be like God wants you to be, and he wants you to be on fire for him, and he wants you to have peace with him. And that means spend time with him. It may seem hard, and it definitely takes time and commitment, but fighting for the peace is worth it. Here's the question. You ready for the whole thing? Do you want to be kept in perfect peace? Keep your mind on God. You want to be kept in perfect peace? Keep your mind on God. But there's a second thing that he does mention here. It's related. The second thing you need. Look at verse 4. Look at the end of verse 3. Whose mind has stayed on you, that's why he keeps you in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The second thing you need to receive this perfect peace is a trusting heart. A steady mind and a trusting heart. Again, you see that at the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. What is this talking about? It refers to a complete, confident reliance upon God. Think about that everlasting rock here. It's like a weak person in the midst of the mighty waves, placing their whole weight upon that solid rock. That's all they've got. That's all they need. They're weak. But the rock isn't. The heart that trusts God sees the bigger picture of who God is and how good he is, when the immediate picture of what's happening to you or around you doesn't look so good. It's not about me, it's about my loved ones, about what I saw in India, or I saw this, that, other thing. This is peace too. First of all, stop reading the news. Get off social media. Learn yourself a little bit, and then get back to it when you're ready to handle it. If you're never ready to handle it, so what? Who cares? You know, if it gets bad enough, they'll call you. Again, the heart that trusts God sees the bigger picture of who God is and how good he is when the immediate picture doesn't look so good. In the moment of crisis, a sense of urgency is tempered with a sense of proportion. They're not just blown off. It's like, okay, woo, that's bad, but I'm going forward. What do we do? What's next? I'll take that mountain. God is bigger than their troubles. God is stronger than their situations. Now, in the moment of tragedy, their sense of loss is mixed with a sense of God's truth. Right? Losses are terrible. But they can be transformed. People that know Jesus Christ, or you're thinking, but they didn't know Jesus Christ, well, then now you know you got to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. There's a sense of God's truth in there. Losses can only do so much because your source is eternal. Can you hear me? I'm almost done. When all around seems to give way, they stick to their source with a tenacious hope, a firm, a settled faith. That's what a trusting heart does. And a trusting heart isn't trusting in its own strength. A trusting heart says, like Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. A trusting heart knows that God is good all the time. When you look like you're winning, and even when it looks and feels like you're losing, everyone else says you're a loser. I'm not a loser. I may be a loser in the world's eyes, but I'm a winner in God's eyes because of God. Again, a trusting heart knows that when you have Jesus, you have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and the devil can't touch. And it acts in faith. It learns to rest upon God, and it continues in that trust. When you trust in the Lord, you might be weak, but you are attached to his strength. Think again about this solid rock in the midst of all these waves going and bouncing and all that stuff. Those winds and those waves can crash and splash as much as they want, but they can't move that rock, right? We already know that. Wait, hold on. They can't even take a piece of it, right? Right? So the rock is not afraid of the waves at all. It just shows how strong the rock is. Keep splashing, baby! Right? It's not going to stop God. It's not going to take one little inch out of him. It's just going to prove his strength. It doesn't erode at all. You know that, right? That solid rock. Our great God will never be lesser than he is right now or than he's ever been. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of that rock, and you're as solid as he is. It's not your strength. It's that you are one with him. Think about that now. Think about the biggest waves there are. What's the biggest waves? Death? The devil? Right? Death on the cross couldn't hold Jesus back from his destiny. He paid for your sins and he rose again. And now you don't have to fear the biggest waves, death and the devil. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says that through death, Jesus would destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. I'm not a slave to those crashing waves. I'm on the solid rock. I'm one with the rock. I got more than a piece of the rock. The rock has swallowed me. Oh, yeah. So you can trust in the Lord for your forever. In Christ, you're part of that solid rock, and you can trust him. When you do that, you find your mind is at perfect peace in the midst of the storms of life. Heavenly Father, to all that have heard this message, to all that will hear this message, to all that need this message, Lord, from this pulpit, from these recordings, from somewhere else, from your word, Lord, and your spirit, make this part of our lives where, Lord, the tests are going to come. They're there. They're always there. But that when we feel even the most weak, we understand that we're throwing ourselves upon that solid rock and we're one with it. And no matter what the crashing waves do, all they do is prove how solid and wonderful and incredible and immovable and unwavering and secure you are. We find our sufficiency, our security, oh, our satisfaction, our serenity, our significance, all of that in you, Lord Jesus. Do these things for your glory, for it is in your name we pray. Amen.